We've been working our way through 1 John. This is about the fifth sermon so far. Last week, the title was Children of God, and I had read a poem by Robert Frost where two roads diverged in the woods. Most of you know that poem, and a central theme last week was we make decisions, whether to follow the ways of the flesh and Satan and the world, or whether we are going to follow the ways of the Lord. If we follow the ways of the Lord, then we are members of the family of God. Within that family, I finished last week with family traits. One is righteousness, and one of the songs that we sang today had a heavy emphasis on righteousness, on how we need to be righteous before a holy God, but we can't do it on our own. So we are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ when we accept him into our lives as Lord and Savior of our lives. So one of the family traits of the family of God is righteousness, and another one is love. And last week they mentioned loving each other. Well, this week, the author of 1 John, who's John, is what does love look like? And his emphasis today is on love in action. That basically, talk is cheap. We got to put our love into action in how we treat each other and what we do for others. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we get into the actual sermon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing who you are through your holy word, for revealing who you are through your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal who you are through your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We ask that you open our eyes and our ears, our hearts, our souls to take away from today's passage whatever it is that you want each of us individually to learn, and also what you want us as a congregation to take away from today's passage as well. And all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1st picture is a pinball machine in Paris. What's all that about? Well, quite a while ago now, when Terry and I were first dating, she knew that I liked France and Paris, all things French. So she contacted a bookstore in Paris, an English bookstore. They have books in English, and she bought me this book. It's called Paris to the Moon by one of my favorite journalists, Adam Gopnik is his name. And so she did a small act of kindness for me. She got the book, and it's signed by the author. Well, the other day I picked it up. It's a series of little vignettes when he and his family lived in Paris for a number of years, and that was his home base as he was doing his journalism. Well, I opened up one of the pages, and it was talking about a pinball machine that they discovered at this small cafe. His son was 3 years old at the time. His son's name is Luke. And they discovered they both loved to play pinball machines. How many people have played old-fashioned pinball machines? I grew up with those. I love those, you know, the rattling and the buttons on the side. So I'll read you a small passage today. And what the theme of this is little acts of kindness, which are really little acts of love. Adam Gopnik writes, "We go once a week to this little cafe, takes his son out. After a month or so, I noticed something odd. When we began to play at this pinball machine, on the pinball machine, I would always discreetly drag a cafe chair over from the table and put it alongside the machine for Luke, his 3-year-old son, to stand on. But after we had done this 5 or 6 times, over 5 or 6 weeks, I noticed that someone had quietly tucked that small cafe chair under the left flipper for Luke to stand on. The chair, the little bistro chair, was pushed under the pinball machine on the left, or the Lukeish side. There was no talk, no explanation. No one mentioned it or pointed it out. No, it was a quiet courtesy offered to a short client who came regularly to take his pleasure there. 3-year-old Luke loved playing that pinball machine, and Dad loved playing the pinball machine with him. And the owners of this little cafe thought, why don't we just keep that chair available to them all the time? These little acts of kindness. Well, today's passage is pretty fun to preach on because it's all about love in action, putting love in action. So the first main area that I have is love in action. Then I'll have love in the spirit. Under love in action is the commandment to love. So we're going to move from these general large ideas to more specific applications for through this first half of the sermon. There's a commandment to love. We're used to hearing commandments, the Ten Commandments. But there's more commandments than just those ten. Here, the author of 1 John is talking about the commandment of love. And from today's passage, there's three little pieces. As we're discovering in 1 John, John kind of jumps around a lot. Sometimes he has an idea and it's contained in a small paragraph. Other times he has an idea and it's kind of spread out all over the place. So what I've been doing is collecting those bits and pieces. So you can see from today, verse 11, 18, and 23 are thematically connected. Verse 11, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Here's the message from God to love one another. Verse 18, "Little children," you can see how that connects to last week, "let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." That I considered to be the key verse, and on the inside of your bulletin, I just come out and say, hey, I think this is the key verse for the whole passage today. "Let us not love in word or talk." Talk is cheap, right? "Put your love into action." And then finally, verse 23, "and love one another just as he has commanded us." You see the command there. It's like those Ten Commandments. Love each other. We'll see where he develops this throughout today's passage. In italics, the additional passages or comments that I'll make, I put in italics just to differentiate it from today's verses from other verses. So from Leviticus 22:31, so there's a strong connection between the Old Testament and New Testament, as we always discover. From Leviticus, God is speaking. He says, "So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord." So when Christ or God through the prophet says, love each other, that's a commandment. And it's like, okay, don't mess around. You follow those commands. I have a little note for myself on the bottom there. What do commandments do? Oftentimes we don't want to follow rules and regulations and orders, but commandments help us develop obedience. We still have free will, but we learn how to respond to the Lord and follow the Lord. We need obedience in order to follow what's right for us. What we think is the best thing for us is oftentimes not the best thing for us. But a sovereign God who's in charge of everything in our lives knows what's best for us. So a commandment in general is a way for us to practice obedience to the almighty sovereign God. So that's the first subpoint, commandment of love. Second subpoint are examples of love. So John makes a general statement. There's a commandment to love each other. And then he gives us some examples as well. We have the spiritual example. The most obvious one would be Jesus Christ. This is from today's passage, verse 16. "By this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." And then from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus himself said, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Now, we may be called to lay down our lives for others. But in all likelihood, the way that God will call us to give our lives are through our time. Through our time, through our energy, through the gifts that we have, the blessings that we have. We give to others just as Christ gave to us. Now, Christ gave the ultimate gift that we will celebrate at Easter time when he paid the price for us on the cross and rose from the dead and defeated death itself. So even though he's talking about Christ giving up his life for us, we give a little bit of our lives away for others. I'm just going to jump around here just a little bit. What is love? One definition is, love is when you go out of your way, you extend yourself for the good of somebody else. That's what love is, going out of your way to help somebody else. Well, what is the opposite of that? The opposite of that is evil. Evil is when a person goes out of their way to harm somebody else. So you can kind of use that as a guide when you watch yourself, when you watch others. What are they doing? Are they doing an act of kindness for somebody else? Are they sacrificing their time, their energy, could be their money, their belongings, the situation in life where they're saying, God has blessed me in very various ways. I have extra time on my hands. I can help out. I've got extra money on my hand. I can help out. I've got extra energy. I'm discovering as I get older, I have to budget my energy units. I don't have as many energy units during the day as I used to have. So I've got to budget those and say, okay, I got some extra energy. I can do this for you. So we have the spiritual example, and that's Jesus Christ. We also have practical examples as well. This is from today's passage, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And God is very clear. He says, if you have stuff and you see somebody in need, help them out. You know, you don't have to think long and hard, should I help this person or not? Just spontaneously help that person. Let's take a look at the back of the bulletin. I have included this in the prayer request on the back of the bulletin. This is Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. And you all know this passage. This is when in the future when God is basically talking to people and praising those that have helped others, and the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, I don't remember doing all this stuff. When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Christ is saying, you did these things for me. And the character in the parable is saying, oh, when? I don't remember seeing you on the earth. I don't remember doing these things for you. So let me back up again. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Notice all the ways that we can serve others that are listed in those couple of verses. And then the king, Jesus, will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. You did it to me. You did it for me. So how do we serve the Lord? By helping those in need. We give. We help each other. We have extra. I mean, isn't that countercultural? Isn't that a radical idea? We have an extra, and the world would say, well, invest it. Make it grow. The more the better. Stash money away. But God says, no, when you have blessings, give it away. I'll give you more. Give it away. Help others. I'll help you live on less. Or maybe I didn't need this stuff after all. So one of the messages today is God gives us examples of spiritual examples and also practical examples. I'm going to give you a practical example. This is the Hotel, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, Hotel Dieu de Quebec. This is a hospital in Quebec City, up in Canada. When I visited there years ago, I was just wandering around. That's kind of what I do on my vacations. I kind of wander around and discover things. And I discovered this plaque that talked about this hospital. And these three nuns were sent from France to Quebec in 1644. Imagine that you're a young woman who's a nun being sent out in the wilderness in Quebec and told, you go start a hospital. People need medical care. You go start a hospital. Well, they did. They followed the Lord's leading, and it was successful and grew, and it's still there. And you can see from this picture how that willingness to serve others has been blessed by God and continues to bless people in Quebec with high-quality medical care. Let's continue on. John, in today's passage, takes a little aside and says, yeah, go help people, love each other, but don't be surprised if you get some pushback from some people around you. This is how he phrases it in verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. And then he jumps to verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. That's a powerful statement. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. I was thinking about this, and I ran across this passage in one of the commentaries by David Jackman. He explains these two verses this way. Verse 12 traces the murder of Abel to Cain's hatred, and verse 15 teaches us, here's the lesson, the action is the outcome of the attitude. If we go through life looking at people in negative ways, thinking, oh, they're out to get me, I got to protect myself from them, we will eventually act out because of that. It's like we're conditioning our minds to act out in the ways that we're thinking. So the practical application is, how do we view people? When do we catch ourselves thinking poorly of somebody else? Maybe they haven't done anything, and we just have these negative thoughts that creep in. And God says, that's when you check it. That's when you need to be aware of your thoughts, because those thoughts, your actions, will be the result of the attitudes that you carry around with you all day long. Now, you might not go out and actually kill somebody, but you are thinking ill of them. And all of a sudden, how would it come out? Well, if you have negative thoughts about somebody and you get a conversation with them, all of a sudden you'll find yourself just kind of lashing out at them. And later on, I tend to just, you know, kind of make these judgmental statements. And then later on, I'm thinking, boy, was I a jerk. You know, the Lord kind of works on us afterwards. We need to try to get ahead of that and think, what is our attitude? How are we looking at each other in love? Even the people that irritate us, how are we trying to look at them in love so that when we interact with them, we will be sharing Christ's love for us to them? That's a lifelong goal, right? That's a lifelong assignment right there. Let me continue on with the next passage, verse 13 from today. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. What we're doing is countercultural. From John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 18 to 19, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Jesus is talking. If you belong to the world, here's the irony. If you belong to the world and did the things that the world thinks is normal, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. When we help somebody that other people look down on, they're going to not like us because we're being nice to that person that they don't like. That's countercultural. But God says, treat everybody the same. Treat everybody with love. Why? Because back to Genesis chapter 1, we are all made in the image of God. Imago Dei, we're all made in the image of God. Doesn't matter what religion they are, what their background is, we're all called to love each other. So love in action. That was the first section. Love in the Spirit, the second section. It seems like John is talking about the love that you get from being born again. And here's three passages from today. I've highlighted some words that jumped out at me as I was reading them. You can follow along on the big screen if you'd like. Verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life. We've passed from, when we come to know Christ as Savior, we pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. This watershed moment in our lives. Or at least we can look back and say, boy, I'm a lot different than I was years ago. It's because of God working in my life. We have passed out of spiritual death into spiritual life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. So what is he giving us? He's giving us a little diagnostic. He's saying, you think you're born again? Well, double check. Are you loving others? If you're going around hate with hate in your life, you better have a heart-to-heart talk with God, because you might not be quite as righteous as you think you are. From John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, passage that most of you are familiar with, when Nicodemus, who's on the Sanhedrin, he's a priest, and he comes in the dead of night to talk to Jesus, because he's a follower of Jesus, he's intrigued by Jesus, but he doesn't really want to get in trouble with his other Jewish priests. Jesus answered Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, or another way of translating it is, unless one is born from above, or another way of translating it is to have both at the same time, unless one is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This transformation that comes in our lives when we say, yeah, God, I want you in my life. I want Christ as my Savior and Lord. Verse 23 from today. And this is his commandment. We're getting back to that theme of commandments, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. From Acts 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One of the points I want you to to remember from today's passage, and this is consistent with what John has been doing throughout this letter, he weaves together doctrine and applications. He here is talking about the doctrine of salvation, of how we are saved by God's supernatural gift through the Holy Spirit that we come to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives. And that's a mystery. You know, to what extent are we making a conscious decision? To what extent is God is reaching out and saying, here is my Spirit. Follow me. We hear that in the Gospels. Christ is walking along the lake and he sees the fishermen and says, follow me. And what do? They drop their nets, they follow him. Well, how often does that happen to us throughout the day, in which we have these moments when we just have that sense that God is speaking to us, like, here's a choice. What are you going to do? You're going to follow me, or are you going to follow the ways of the world? Ways of the world always look like they're pleasing and will bring happiness. Well, they may bring short-term happiness, but they don't bring long-term happiness. And God says, follow me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From today's, I'm down to about here. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. That's powerful. When we say, Christ, yes, I want you in my life. I want you as Savior. I want you to save me from my sins. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be in charge of my life. And then God gives us the Holy Spirit within us to help us walk through life and follow His ways. We don't have to do it alone. God gives us His Holy Spirit. And that's another. There's just all these incredible doctrinal components that John weaves in. Almost, it's so easy to overlook these. This is from Ephesians 1:13 to go along with that last passage. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That was in that packet of Bible memorization verses that we put together last year. You're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It's like God gives us a little piece of Himself and leads us through life. And then when we die or when Christ comes back in the second coming, we get the whole picture. But He gives us a down payment, He said. He gives us a down payment with His Holy Spirit so that we can know God now in our daily lives. So that's what I call born-again love. From this, then, John emphasizes that we have the assurance of this love, the assurance of salvation. This is a little bit longer passage from today. It's verses 19 to 22. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure, so assurance, of our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, start wondering, God, do I know you or not? Am I, in you know, everyday verbiage would be, am I saved? And John gives us some insights. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. So basically, God is saying, emotions are important, but you can't always rely on them. Sometimes you feel real close to the Lord. You've been there. Sometimes you feel real close to the Lord, you're having a really good day, and you're just, you know, walking on air. And other days, you're having a really bad day, and you're like, God, do I even know you? Do you even know me? And God says, yes, I do. Check out my word to you. Check out the Bible. Things like John 3:16. So God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And so God is telling us, hey, do you believe in me? Do you believe in Christ who came to the world to save you from your sins? That is external validation that you know me, that you are saved. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that this is Paul talking, and he who began a good work with you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We're having a bad day, we're wondering, God, am I in the right direction? Well, there's assurances, and Paul writes in Ephesians, God will work with you. He will continue to stand along with you and walk along with you. And from Hebrews that we studied last year, therefore, brothers and sisters, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Why am I giving you all these? Well, I'm going to give you an analogy. Once a week, on Friday morning, there's a really early spinning class, a stationary bicycle class at the YMCA. And sometimes I get up early enough to go, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I like to just stay in bed. I get on that bike, and I feel like I'm really working hard. I feel like I'm working really hard. But there's a little dial there that changes colors. And objectively, it tells me how hard I'm working. So if I'm feeling like I'm working really hard, maybe the dial will say, you're not really working all that hard. You got to pick it up a little bit. Or maybe I feel like I'm just dogging it. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm not getting anything out of this. And I look at the dial, and the dial is a certain color. And if it's yellow, it's like, okay, you're doing good. You're working out. You're really burning the calories here. The point is this. As we go through life, as we go through the day, as we go through the week, we will feel closeness or farness from the Lord. And those are emotions, and those are important. We have an objectivity, though, that is called the Bible. And we can go to the Bible and say, God, what do you tell us about your nearness. You know, things like Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God says, well, number one, God says, read your Bible. And then apply those to your life. That God is giving us these objective standards. If we have, and we're going through a time of life and that we feel distant from God, and it's going to happen. It happens to all of us. Sometimes we feel real close, and sometimes it's like, God, where are you? That's when we crack open that Bible, and we just keep reading. And time and time and time again, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Keep going. Keep doing what I have asked you to do. I have plans for you. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace, not by works. And then verse 10 talks about the plans that God has for us. He's already laid out the plans. He's laid out these opportunities for love, to act out our love, because he has plans for us. So even when we're not having a great day, even when we're not feeling real close to the Lord, we crack open the Bible and read verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, and we realize, no. God has plans for me. What is it, God? I'm ready to go. Reveal it to me. What do you want me to do? And we move forward. Okay, let's finish up. And this area of love in the Spirit, the third and final point, fellowship of love. From today's verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. I'll read that again. Whoever keeps God's commandments abides in God, so there's this fellowship with God, and God abides with us. So it's a two-way street. When I took seminary classes, the professor pointed out that there is this fellowship within the Trinity itself between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He called it an eternal fellowship of love. God is a God of relationships. Even within the Godhead, there's a relationship, the eternal fellowship of love. We experience that vertically with God. John's gospel quotes Jesus saying, I am in my Father. I'm in my Father. Jesus is with the Father. And you, my followers, are in me, and I in you. So there's all these connections, all this fellowship, all these relationships. Everybody's connected to each other through the Holy Spirit. So then, so God has a relationship within the Godhead. God has a relationship between him and us, and we have a relationship with others through that same Holy Spirit. This is Romans 12:9-10. Let love be genuine. Abhor, stay away from what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Terry, I think we need a big chalkboard in the living room when kids start arguing with each other. And I'm like, what does the Bible say? You're supposed to put others ahead of yourself. And all these things that they say to each other. Why don't you do that? No, you did this. You did that. What does God say? Love each other. Put others before us. What a different world that would be, right? If everybody puts others before them. As a church, that's what we're called to do. Yeah, we take care of ourselves. Treat yourself as well as you treat everybody else, but continue to reach out for those in need. So that's that horizontal love from God to us, to others. Final takeaway. This is from James. Many of you know these passages from James. The first one is James 1:22-25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And then James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. I don't have to go out there and help other people. I have faith in Christ. And James says, you have faith, and James says to this other person, you have faith and I have works, you claim. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. As we discover, as we get closer to God, we can't but help helping other people. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and it's like, we have to help other people. We have to read the Bible. We have to pray. We have to worship. We have to help. It's amazing what God does through his Son, through us, through the Holy Spirit. I'll leave it at that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words of your Apostle John. May your Holy Spirit dwell within each of us. And help us just meditate and dwell on today's passage and lead us into those areas of service this week that you have already planned for each of us. And all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.